Welcome to episode 1 of the Nicene Creed. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. The Anglican Internet Church provides educational materials about the beliefs of the Christian faith in both print and electronic forms, easily accessible via the Internet. In this video series, we seek to enhance the popular understanding of the Nicene Creed, the most important creed of the Church, through discussion of the historical context in which it was developed and a phrase-by-phrase commentary on the entire text with special emphasis on the scriptural sources or inspiration. The document which modern Christians in the Western Church tradition call the Nicene Creed is actually the result of the decisions of 2 of the 7 ecumenical councils, the most famous of which is the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, and the second is the Second Ecumenical Council, also known as the First Council of Constantinople, which met at the imperial city in 381 AD. The phrase ecumenical in this context does not mean that the entire church was represented at each of the 7 councils, but that the decisions of these 7 councils were accepted by the church, both in the Western and Eastern church traditions. The illustration for these opening slides and the title slides, both opening and closing, for this series is a remarkably beautiful 17th century Russian Orthodox icon on the themes of the Nicene Creed, illustrating events in the life of Jesus Christ. Just examining the detail would keep you busy for quite a while. The musical theme for the series is Reginald Heber's stirring Trinitarian hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, played to the tune Nicaea, written by John B. Dykes in 1861. The song is hymn 266 in the AIC bookstore publication, the St. Chrysostom Hymnal, Volume 1, now available in paperback and Kindle editions at our virtual bookstore. And here, please make sure to use the S in the URL address, https://amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. The words to the second half of verse 4 say, Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in 3 persons, blessed Trinity. The music was performed on the organ by Richard Irwin, and I thank Richard for granting the AIC permission once again to use his music, and I encourage viewers to visit his site on the web at www.musicwithoutwords.com, where he offers this and much more for the use of local parishes. The word creed is rooted in the Latin verb credere, which means to believe. Contrary to many popular modern theories in the last 2 centuries, creeds such as the Nicene Creed and its sister creed, the Apostles' Creed, are not the cause of heresies. In fact, heresies existed as a threat to traditional Christian doctrine almost from the beginning of the church, long before either of the 2 official creeds was written. There are excellent reference books available explaining the beliefs of each of the heresies, major and minor, which threatened the Church Universal in the early years of the Church. In this series, I present the major heresies of the first 6 centuries in the life of the Church in only summary form. How they were addressed by the Church will be discussed in this episode and later episodes of the series. Many modern-day heresies express variations of one or more of these doctrines. In the late 1st and 2nd centuries, it was Gnosticism. The Gnostics, or the knowing ones, a word based on a Greek verb which means to know, believed themselves possessors of secret knowledge which only they could explain. It was most likely that the Gnostics are the persons to whom St. John referred in his three epistles. Late in the 2nd century, the threat shifted to Montanism, which, like Gnosticism, claimed exclusive possession of secret knowledge outside the mainstream of Christian belief handed down from the apostles. In the 2nd and 3rd centuries, the threat shifted to three heresies, the first of which is called Docetism, from a Greek word meaning to appear to. And followers of Docetism argued that Jesus of Nazareth only appeared to die upon the cross. The advocates of the second of the three heresies of this period were called the Ebionites, a group which was largely Jewish and which accepted Jesus as Messiah, but rejected his divinity and advocated both the continuation of the Mosaic law and the imitation of the practices of John the Baptist, especially voluntary poverty. And finally, third, was Marcionism, a doctrine supported by a group of followers of Marcion of Rome who believed that the vengeful God of the Old Testament was not the same God as the God of the New Testament. In the 4th century, at the time of the Council of Nicaea, the primary heresy which threatened the church was Arianism, named after Arius, a presbyter from Alexandria. Arius believed that Jesus was a created being and not begotten of the Father. I will discuss Arianism in more detail in the discussion of the text of the Nicene Creed. Finally, in the 5th and 6th centuries, there is the Monophysites, who refused to accept the decision of the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD that Jesus Christ was both wholly human and wholly divine. The Monophysite heresy still exists in some of the Eastern churches. The three-century-old hostile relationship between the Church and the Roman Empire changed in the 4th century. The change agent was Constantine, the former governor at York in northern Britain, who proclaimed himself emperor in 306 AD. He was at war with a rival claimant until the victory at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge outside Rome in 312 AD. The night before the battle, Constantine saw a vision in the sky in the form of a cross and heard the message in the voice from heaven saying, "By this sign, conquer." He added the cross to his banners and, after winning the victory, made the slogan his own. In the illustration, the message is inscribed on the base of the statue of Constantine at Yorkminster, England, made by sculptor Philip Jackson in 1998 AD. Constantine converted to Christianity and reversed the empire's long-standing persecution of the church in the Edict of Milan in 313 AD, which made Christianity a legal religion within the empire. He also created a second capital of the empire at Byzantium, west of the Straits of the Bosporus, later named in his honor Constantinople, and called Istanbul since the start of the Turkish Republic in 1923 AD. As the first Christian emperor, Constantine wearied at the inability of the bishops of the religion he had adopted to counter the major heresy of his time, Arianism. A man of action, he called a church council, now known as the First Ecumenical Council, commanding it to resolve the Arian dispute as well as settle other doctrinal and liturgical issues, including the date of Easter. To reduce the influence of the empire's secular authorities at Constantinople, he chose for the meeting the remote resort city of Nicaea, now known as Iznik, Turkey, which is about 43 miles straight line distance southeast of Constantinople, but accessible only by a combination sea and land voyage of at least 2 days. The illustration shows the location of Nicaea and the larger city and bishopric of the region and the regional capital, Nicomedia, now Izmit, and Constantinople. In the illustration, I have superimposed these cities and towns on a 20th century map of northwestern Turkey, plus parts of modern Greece and Bulgaria. In the 4th century, at the time of the Council of Nicaea, the region around Nicaea was known as Bithynia. Nicaea, located at the eastern end of the 30-mile-long freshwater lake, which is 850 feet above the sea and called Lake Ascania, also called Ascanius. The Turkish name is now Lake Iznik. Nicaea was founded by Greeks 3 centuries before Christ. Most of the city's extensive protective wall survives today, including the Istanbul Gate shown in the illustration. Historians believe that Constantine may have invited over 1,800 bishops to the meeting at Nicaea, including representatives of the churches in the east, with the most important jurisdictions or sees at the time being the See of Jerusalem, the See of Antioch, and the See of Alexandria, and in the Western Church, the See of Rome. According to Eastern Church tradition, based upon the contemporary record of Athanasius of Alexandria, the Council of Nicaea was attended by 318 bishops and priests, nearly all from the Eastern Church, and hundreds of deacons and scribes and other church workers, plus 2 or 3 deacons sent by the Bishop of Rome, who was not himself present. Other accounts put the number at around 250. Traditional icons of the Council of Nicaea use the figure 318. A later bishop of Rome, Leo the Great, proclaimed that although the Roman Pope was not present for the council, he regarded its decisions as having the authority of Scripture. Among those present at the First Council of Nicaea were many who became the most prominent churchmen of their day. Many of their names are long forgotten, but among those whose names are still remembered today are Athanasius of Alexandria, then only a youthful deacon and aide to his bishop, Alexander, but who himself later became Bishop of Alexandria. Eusebius of Caesarea, whose later ecclesiastical history of the church is among the first and most important records of the early church. And finally, Nicholas of Myra, the inspiration for St. Nicholas, or Santa Claus as he is called now, who is said to have slapped Arius in the face during the council and been temporarily removed from his office by Constantine. The Council of Nicaea met at Senatus Palace on the western or lake end of the town. The ruins of the palace are partially submerged in Lake Iznik. The building may have been one of many destroyed during the major earthquakes in the area in both the 4th and the 8th century. The illustrations are a 19th century drawing of Nicaea and the view of the lake drawn by Gayaud and published in the tour guide Le Tour du Monde, printed in Paris in 1864 AD and showing the ruins of the city at that time. and an aerial photograph from the ruins of an unidentified 6th-century basilica, unknown until its discovery in shallow water in Lake Iznik in 2014 AD. The meetings at the palace, according to tradition, presided over by Hosius of Cordoba, one of the Roman Church's delegates, went on for many months without resolution of the Arian dispute over the nature of God the Father and his relationship to God the Son. According to church historian Eusebius, it was the Emperor Constantine who had called the council out of frustration over differences in doctrine, who offered the solution which ended the deadlock. And I'll discuss that in more detail later in the series. While the Council of Nicaea made many important doctrinal decisions, including the date of Easter and whether self-castrated clergy could continue in office, the balance of this series is focused exclusively on the words of the Nicene Creed as used today in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, but which is actually the text, as I observed earlier, of the Creed as amended at Constantinople in 381 AD and reaffirmed at all the later ecumenical councils. The sole exception is the filioque, or procession clause, a later change which will be discussed in another episode. Thank you for joining me for Episode 1. Next time, in Episode 2, I will begin the phrase-by-phrase discussion of the Nicene Creed, beginning with "I believe," and continue with a discussion of the references to the identity of the one God who is the Father. Episodes in this series, as well as those of other teaching videos and seasonal videos, are or will be available on our YouTube channel. The URL address is https://www.youtube.com/c/StJohnC, with Saint spelled out, or by a better way, by using the episode links at our website, the full address of which is http://www.anglicaninternetchurch.net/digital-library.html, all in lowercase. Bible study videos are linked from the Bible study page at the same site. These are referred to several times during the series. I also invite you to visit our virtual bookstore of historical, prayer, teaching, and other publications at our special site, https://www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. 100% of all book royalties are contributed to the AIC ministry. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and use its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.